A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. Our host is Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back, and for anybody that has listened to the show for some time, you know the drill when it comes to what I like to call Sky Call Scouts. Simply means we've got folks out there that are using a Sky Call satellite phone in the field. And, Russ, I got a call from Scott a couple of days ago, or a text, actually, letting me know that Jared Rosemond had a phone and was willing to share his experiences, so I'm excited.
I think this might be our first call from the area that he's in.
Well, let's find out. Jared, you were headed to the Boulder Mountains. How are things going? And tell people exactly where you are.
No, it's going great. We are up here on the top of the plateau, the Oak Creek is where we're at. We're about 10,000 feet in elevation. Yesterday is when we got down here. The minute we pulled into camp, unfortunately, it became a steady downpour, and it rained for a good portion of the night. But today it's been blue skies, so we got up bright and early this morning at 5 o'clock and went fishing and caught a lot of fish. And now we're up here at the top of the plateau just checking out the lake up here, and we'll be up here for the next 4 or 5 days just fishing and hiking.
Well, I was worried about you, and I knew we were going to connect because we got a crazy storm through the Wasatch Front yesterday that dropped a month's worth of rain in a day, and it wouldn't be the best time to be outside, but I'll bet it got nice and cold up there last night, too.
It did, yeah. The temperatures in the day were only about 65, 70 degrees. And it's dropping down where we're camping, about 30, high 30s to low 40s at our campsite.
Russ, this Boulder area, I know you've been there more recently than I have, because I think you were out there with Charlie.
I was out there with Charlie. Yeah. Right. And it was in the fall, so there didn't look like there was any fishing going on there in the fall. There wasn't much water in any of the lakes we went by. But I've heard from so many people how great the fishing is there.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is nice when the temperatures and the water temperature in particular is rising in the lower elevations. You get up there and I'm sure have a great time. What are you catching, or have you had a chance to fish this morning? I apologize.
This morning we did. Rainbow is all that we caught. Lower bounce is where we were at this morning. They were on the smaller size. Tomorrow, upper bounce is where we will be fishing tomorrow. We've heard the fish are a lot larger up here, so that's what we're going to try to tackle tomorrow.
Yeah. When you go to the high country, though, it's not the size you're really going, it's the quantity. And even those little guys put up a pretty good fight, don't they?
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah, they definitely do. And a good story, actually. My son, he's with me. He just turned 4 a couple weeks ago, and this is his first camping trip.
Oh.
And a trip, and we took him fishing. My father bought him his first fishing pole for his birthday, and this morning he caught his first fish with that pole.
I love that.
Wow.
Yeah, that was great.
Those are pictures you'll be looking at for a lifetime.
Yeah.
We need copies. And it's,
it's good to have this phone because my wife, we have a 9-month-old at home. That's why she didn't come down. And so it was nice to have this phone that I could call her as soon as he caught that fish. And my wife was so excited to hear the news.
So who's with you besides your 4-year-old?
My parents and relatives. So all in total, there's probably about 17 of us.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's quite a group. Who's doing the cooking, or did you spread it out amongst so everybody has a little responsibility?
Yeah, we all had to take turns on breakfast and then dinner. Lunch, we're on our own, but, yeah, we do a big a big cook for dinner time, Dutch ovens, things like that. And then hopefully once we get some fish, that fish will be on the menu as well.
Yeah. Have you been to this part of the Boulders before?
The last time I was down here, I was probably 15, so this is probably a good 20 years ago since I've been here. You know, living up in the city, you know, it's really hard to get out, but being down here is just so majestic. And what's been nice is my folks, they were down here about 3 weeks ago, and it was packed. Every campground was packed, side-by-sides everywhere. And this trip, we've seen maybe two campers, nobody fishing, so it's a perfect time to be down here. That temperatures are cool, and there's not a whole lot of folks down here.
Yeah. Russ, you want to jump in here?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot I was on a live mic here.
Okay, I just thought you were trying to get it. Okay.
It's just a popular place. I did some communications for Ultra Marathon that went across the plateau there. And we had some of the runners. They're running 100 miles. Some of them took fishing poles with them.
Yeah, why not? If you're not worried
about the fishing.
If you're not worried about the time, you might as well stop and do a little fishing. I'm assuming that all of these are primitive camp spots, right?
Most of them are. They do have a couple of actual campgrounds, but most of it's all primitive. You know, you got to spread out and all that. So, yeah, it's all, well, part of BLM stuff, but mainly National Forest. But, yeah, it's all primitive. But what's nice is they have fresh water taps that you can fill up your trailer, trash dumpsters, so that if you get a whole lot of trash, you can take it to the facilities there, you know, to keep the place clean. That it's a really nice area, and I had forgotten a lot about the beauty down here. And so it's been a real treat. We only down here for a day, and we've got 4 or 5 more days to go. So, yeah, we are all real excited to be down here.
Well, and I'm headed south. Yeah. It looks like the weather's really going to be nice for you. No chances of precipitation come the weekend and cooler air. So you should have perfect weather for that. I am curious. We were talking about, and both Russ and I are dads, so we have some of this in our back pockets, pictures and memories with our kids when they were tiny. Since you're back there making those memories with your son, 4-year-old, and you said it was 15 years ago that you were there, does it bring back memories for you? Does it look different, or does it ring true to what you remember?
As far as the area, I don't remember much of the area, but what it does is it jogs my memory of other trips that I've been on with my parents and my family. And that's what's tough is back then, you know, to have a camera was unheard of. You know, you had to have money to have a good camera, and we didn't have, you know, cell phone videos. But now we can create those memories and store them on a drive so that when our kids get older, they can see what it was like when they were kids, and we would take them out. So it's easier to create memories now. So for us that are older, you know, we just have to go off of memory that there's not a whole lot of photos like we do nowadays.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because we talk a lot about the curse of technology and the social media and all of that. But you're right. It does provide opportunities that we just didn't have long ago. I'm going to twist your arm a little bit, since our listeners now have shared in this memory that's made. If you can, when you get back, can you we'll get you an email address. We'd love to be able to post the picture of your son. What's your son's name?
Dominic.
Dominic, we'd love to be able to post a picture of Dom's first fish at 4 years old, caught on that rod and reel that Grandpa gave him.
Perfect. Yep, yeah, and I got my drone down here. I do a lot of photography with my drone, so I plan on doing a lot of, you know, sunrise, sunset photos across the lakes and things like that. So, yeah, I'll just, I will send what I have that looks spectacular and use whatever you'd like.
Yeah, that's great. Jared, I appreciate it. You're an articulate guy with a lot of passion. Thanks for sharing your experience with us. And we often try to twist Sky Call Scout's arms to share with us, but Jared Roseman has been fantastic. Russ, I just want to remind everybody real quick that if they have a trip coming up, they can share that adventure with us and our listeners. We'd love to be able to do that with a Sky Call phone.
And we keep telling people it doesn't have to be somewhere exotic, even though we like that too. But, I mean, places right here in the state, you know, we love to hear reports on how it is and how the fishing is.
801-450-8317 is the number to call.
Thanks.
Or look them up
online. I've forgotten that number.
I know.
Yeah.
Stay with us. We'll get some fish bites for you coming up next here on KSL Outdoors Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Ooh la la.
It is time for some fish bites here this morning. Navinopsis is back with us. I don't know where you want to go with this, but man, we have had some pictures of some real hogs coming out of both Strawberry and East Canyon this past week.
Yeah, it's fishing season, even though people don't think it is. Are you ready? I'll get started.
Yeah.
My teaching today is going to be about the dog days of summer, because a lot of people say, well, Mike, what do you do in August? You know, it's when I'm off. It's when I have time. It's when my family's together. We want to go fishing, but it's awful in August. And the answer is yes and yes. It is awful in August. But don't think that you can't catch fish. And in some ways, I'm going to go ahead and say that it's actually incredibly good fishing. The reason why is because everything is narrowed. You have to keep in mind that when we're talking about trout, and that's what they're asking me about, 45 to 55 degrees, and that's virtually impossible in, you know, the August days, the hot days, the triple-digit days. Is that a possibility? Sure. It is if you understand a certain number of things, depth, darkness, and altitude, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start with darkness first, because people, most of the calls I get are about fishing rivers. And so, look, can I fish any river you want to pick in Utah when it's been 100 degrees for more than one day in a row? And the answer is yes, but you have to be willing to do what the fish do. So the fish aren't going anywhere. This isn't like hunting. All the fish migrate to feeding grounds, you know, hunting grounds, birthing grounds, all those things. They don't migrate like that, and because fish are pretty much bound to where they are. So you know they're there. When can I get them to bite? Well, they're going to wait for that 45 to 55, which isn't going to happen. But the closest to that number is when they're going to eat all their calories. Remember, they can't fast during the summer. They still have to eat. So can you catch them? And the answer is absolutely. But you got to get a headlamp, okay? Now, you can go out late at night, you know, after the sun sets, or get up early in the morning before the sun rises. But all their calories are going to be consumed in this window. And you say, well, how do I fish in the dark? And it's a great argument. So let me, I don't care if you're a spin fisherman or fly angler. I want you to understand that you can't see what you're doing when it comes to the water, okay? And if you're fishing a tight enough line to where you can detect the strike, you're not going to get strikes because those lines have to be slack. So it's all visual, and that's not possible. So I'm going to say throw a mouse. You need to understand that the bigger fish in the river need bigger calories, and they only have such a small window to consume them that they prize rodents, okay? And by the way, it works out well because the rodents are out at night too. So any kind of an imitation is going to work. What I'm looking for, besides maybe fur, is a tail. That tail is the rudder, and it's got to be long enough to move side to side so free. But if you make a splash, that's good. Usually a splash is not good, but not in at night. They move towards splashes. So you make a splash, you can't see it, but you want to retrieve it in a way that it makes a wake. because they see the wake and they follow the wake. Now, here's the rub. When that fish hits that, it's probably not eating that. It's probably smacking it with its tail.
Hmm.
So you need to understand that when you hear a splash, that fish circled your rodent and smacked it with the tail because they like them to be stunned. They like them to be preferably knocked out because when they eat them whole, and those mice remain alive in their belly, and it's not advantageous to have a live mouse in your belly. So they tend to try to knock them out first. So what you got to do is be patient. You hear the splash, freeze. No longer strip. And then be ready. Just tighten the line because they're going to make a circle, and then they're going to try to eat that that mouse, mostly head first. Okay, so that's wonderful because the fish are exceedingly large when you're fishing in this manner, and it's really rewarding. I've heard it said that 10 fish in the net are only as good as one fish in the net that you got on a mouse. So, yeah, very rewarding, very large fish. The next thing I'm going to tell you in the dog days of summer is you got to get deep. Okay, so it's really easy. Usually I'm counting down how deep they are from the surface. I want you to flip that. I want you to go to the bottom first, okay?
Yeah.
And figure out that number and go to that number and stop short of it next time because you want to get to the bottom to even start. But you need to know that all the fish are now on the bottom. They don't like the heat either, and they're going to get to where that feeding column is at 45 to 55. And sometimes that's not achievable because of how hot it is. So they're on the bottom in the lowest part of the bottom. My point is they're all in the same place, so you can get them without having to search for them. Just know where they are. They're on the bottom. And it's kind of pleasant to be, out on the lake. Maybe you've got your fins and your tube on, and you're just wearing a swimming suit because it's incredibly warm.
Yeah.
But where you're fishing, it isn't. And you're going to catch a lot of fish that way. And then, of course, the last way is altitude. And then the strategies at altitude are exactly what they normally are because this is the temperatures that you're usually fishing, during the rest of the year, but now you're getting them at over 8,000 feet. So, you can fish all day, pretty much any strategy you want. The fish are going to feed in the same cycles that they would be feeding in the fall and spring at our altitudes.
How big are these mice you're throwing out there?
Well, they vary, but I would throw one from 2.5 inches to 4 inches, maybe
wow.
5.
See, now for somebody like me that struggles with presentation of a fly, that sounds inviting.
Absolutely.
I could just let that thing plop on the water and still have the desire
retrieve
to
retrieve it with the wake. You've got to make that wake because they see that.
Yeah.
Particularly with the moons that we have. The super moon's coming again in August.
Yeah.
You won't need a headlight on that night. But you'll get used to it, and it's really kind of fun. And like you say, you don't have to be great to make a cast when you're just looking at a splash.
All right, all great stuff. We've got a break. We've got news at the top of the hour and on the other side. Looking forward to checking in with Tanya Kiefer-Selby. We'll talk about the 50th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act. So stay with us.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.